there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time, or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The trade winds are blowing. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe P. Zapia. That, of course, is Kyle Yates, and Paul Charchian is going to join us today, the CEO, the king of the guillotine leagues, and we're going to talk about the rest of the season, the trade targets, the buy lows, the sell highs, the week six in the NFL. We're getting to bye weeks as well, so lots of moving and shaking. This is when it starts to heat up. This is when you can smell desperation on certain teams. You can also take advantage of people who have lost patience, and if you have a little bit of patience and a good record, maybe you can make a good move for your football team. A fun game last night. We're going to talk about that before we dive into all the other things. But Paul, I wanted to welcome you back to the show. Haven't seen you in a couple weeks, and it's nice to have you back. And thank you again so much for inviting me into the Guillotine League. I had two glorious weeks before being gone from it, and I loved every minute of it, and I can't wait to do it again. So thanks for having me in there, man.
Well, I'm sorry your run only lasted 2 weeks, and then we asked you to take over Mike's team, and Mike's team, had basically, we were just setting lineups for Mike for a couple of weeks, and he out-survived people who were, like, trying, and now you've taken over that one, and so you're still getting a Guillotine League experience, which is great, and I think your team's better than mine, which I do not appreciate at all, and I think you've got a bunch of fab left to spend, too, so.
I do, and I plan on spending it, let me tell you, and I plan on winning that league for tags, and of course, there's so many tags guys on that team, and I know you guys were close, and you know, I know it's the first time we've really, you know, got to sit down and talk on a show since then. So, you know, it's certainly been a tough time over here, as you well know, but I know from, you know, you and Tags were close and, you know, knew each other for a while in this industry.
Yeah. And, I'm going to keep this short. I don't want to turn this into a full blown eulogy, but what I will always remember about Tags was he came to an FSGA conference in Dallas, and he pulled me aside and said, "I've been listening to you for years in Chicago because I do Chicago radio twice a week." And he said, "Hearing you and knowing that there was a pathway to a career in fantasy football was an inspiration for me to get in and make this happen." And it's just, you know, I still get tingles. I mean, like, wow, you know, you don't know, I'm just talking to these guys in Chicago and we're just having fun. And you don't realize that you're incidentally inspiring somebody to go make a career change and frankly, do it better than you do it. So it was a great story from him. And obviously it will be missed. And I'm just very grateful to have the interactions that we had.
And it's so important, I think, to kind of pay that back too for us who are in those chairs now. Like Bob Harris was that guy for me. Who I had followed him on the radio. My first radio gig was Sirius XM Satellite Radio you know, millions of people, right? That was the first radio gig I ever did in my entire life. But I was so lucky to follow Mike and Bob, right? Mike Dempsey, Bob Harris, the diehards. I don't know if it gets much better than those guys. And that's so great. And Kyle, I know, you know, for you too, who's gotten into this industry and been able to get to where you got to so quickly, I'm sure you kind of feel that a little bit too. Like you want to help out those people who are coming up and trying to find their path. And I feel like we kind of, it's part of our responsibility in the seats that we're in to help those people find their way through this wacky industry of ours.
Yeah. And you shared that story charge about what Tags was like that, or what you were to Tags, excuse me. That's what Tags was to me. You know, Tags was the person that I admired, that was the inspiration to be able to push further into my career. And he became that close mentor for me, you know, here. And I talked about this in the game plan that I wrote this past week. Like, I don't know if he ever really truly knew just how much of a mentor he was to me, but being able to watch him closely, like no one else, right? I got to be able to see the work ethic firsthand. People got to see the results of it. I got to see the work ethic behind the scenes of what he put in, and it will no one will ever come close to putting in the work that Tags did. So yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Joe, that the, you know, and the messages that we've got from people have signaled that what we do here, what we talk about, is not just talking about fantasy football. It is an escape. It is like the stories that people have come forward and shared, the impact that we get to have just by being able to be an escape and an inspiration for many is truly overwhelming at times. So I, you know, it is humbling to be able to be in this seat, and I'm excited to talk some football with you guys today.
And on that note, I could hear Tags in my ear. Will you just get to the football already and stop? Yep. Oh my God, I've got all these stats to share. All right, so let's talk about it. Before we get into it, I want to remind everybody, head over to fantasypros.com/myplaybook. That's where you can find the trade analyzer. It also has the trade finder that helps you discover trades that can and actually help you win your league and make it your own. You can personalize it. And also, it's a very helpful tool, especially for, you know, when you're trying to manage these bye weeks and go through things. So the trade finder, the trade analyzer, all part of my playbook over at fantasypros.com. And I want to thank the sponsor of today's show. And you know me, I keep it real here on the show. I'm the king of keeping it real. Our sponsor today is Into the AM, and they are a t-shirt company, and they're amazing. I've been wearing this now for over a month. I've got a couple of these t-shirts. You can see, oh, I'm going to pull it into the shot. Oh, there it is, a little Into the AM logo there. I'm a little bit more simple. Kyle can get away with that. He's in his 20s. He can get away with a spaceman or a dragon riding a unicorn or something like that. I can't get away with those. I like the simple ones, but I got to tell you, we're always looking for like high quality t-shirts, right? Especially like we're a casual show, but you want something that looks nice, but it washes up well. And you don't want to spend $100 on a t-shirt, right? That's kind of crazy. That's like Kanye West territory for t-shirts. That's not what Into the AM is about. They've got the graphic tees right now, and they are doing a deal, 3 for $60, or the basic tees like I've got right now, which is the 3 for $39.95. And I'm telling you, I've worn them to coach football. I've worn them on TV spots. I wear them to host the show sometimes. They're fantastic. And you can go visit intotheam.com/fantasypros, and you'll get 10% off and get an additional 10% off of these very comfortable t-shirts right here. And I'm telling you, you're going to like them. It's fantastic. And Kyle, you've had a lot. Like, as soon as we got the link, we're like, we can start looking at some of these shirts. You're like, oh, these are my kind of
these
style.
Are I gotta my, say, these are my kind of shirts.
You're pulling off the ground control to Major Tom right now. I got to say, it's a pretty good look for you.
These are my kind of shirts. As I was going through, the designs are just absolutely incredible. And I obviously have tattoos. Like, I love the look. And there are so many of these kind of designs that I was like, I would get that tattooed, because these are just fantastic. Fantastic design. So if you guys are interested in them, definitely check it out, Into the AM.
Yeah, I look like if I wear one of those, I look like a dad going into like a midlife crisis thing. Yates is cool. Yates can pull it off. I go the more simple, classy route, but that's the nice thing. You can do it both ways there. So again, intotheam.com/fantasypros to get your 10% off there, the graphic tee bundle and the basic tee bundle. All right, let's bundle some Monday Night Football together. Oh, this was fun. This is fun because Lamar Jackson, 442 yards, 4 touchdowns. Yates, remember what I was talking about? Lamar Jackson's a much better passer than he gets credit for. Ooh. And he's got an easy, quick release on the football. We just haven't seen it at the NFL level because it hasn't been a lot of guys to throw the football to really in his career. Well, guess what? I think we saw the coming out party for the passer at the NFL level that the guy was in college, and they just haven't gotten there yet. This was an incredible performance, a very entertaining game, especially towards that fourth quarter into overtime. Yates, what was your fantasy takeaway from this contest?
Hello, Mark Andrews. welcome back,
welcome
brother.
Welcome to the league.
It has been, Mark Andrews has been incredibly consistent up to this point of the season, right? He's been averaging around like 60 to 70 receiving yards, 5 receptions. Like, he's just been steady. And that's been very, very valuable for fantasy rosters that have a need at the tight end position. But he hasn't brought the week winning upside that we have come to know, especially 2 years ago. Yeah, we got it this past week. If you went up against Mark Andrews, you and or Lamar Jackson, you most likely lost your week, because this was just a massive, massive performance. Even Marquise Brown, too. I mean, just massive performance. So Mark Andrews was the main takeaway. I was like, all right, perfect. We got Andrews back into that top tier.
And Marquise Brown averaging 17 and a half PPR points so far this year, having a wonderful season, 9 receptions, 125, 2 touchdowns. And I did the side-by-side comparison, so I'm not crazy, Yates. He is definitely heavier than he was last year, which, again, he still looks light because that's how slight the guy was. Right. But when this guy came into the league and where he is now charged, I feel like physically you see a difference. And it's like 10 pounds on a guy as slight as Marquise Brown might not sound like a lot, but it makes a big difference when he's fighting for footballs in there with some other of these guys in the secondary.
Yeah, not getting bullied as much, which which counts. And, you know, he's always had the ability to separate. And, you know, he didn't lose any of that with the 10 pounds. Some guys, you know, just don't carry the extra weight well. But I think he definitely needed it. And it's just part for a lot of guys. You're just young, and it just takes time to put on some of the weight that you need. I think that's a valid observation for him. And, you know, he's top 10. I mean, I don't know that there are 9 receivers I would trade for Marquise Brown.
I'd say there's a conversation. We're going to get into Hollywood a little bit more. Yeah. Maybe he's the light version of his relative Antonio at this point. I don't know. I mean, the other thing is, too, he's not getting jammed at the line as much as he used to. Like, you know, like you could physically kind of stop him last year.
Yeah.
You don't see that as much. And guys like to play off him anyway, just because they're terrified of him running by them in that first step. But let's get into some of those most traded players. And of course, we have 1 million teams synced to our My Playbook tool. And here are the players being traded the most on that My Playbook league syncs. And remember to sync your league for free and get all the fantastic options that we give you at My Playbook to help you not only manage your league in season, but all of the trades, the waiver wires, everything in between, and also set your lineups as well every single week. So let's do a little buy or sell with some of the top guys being dealt. Tyler Lockett, this was a guy that last couple of weeks I was saying, this is your sell high. Well, it looks like people are getting out of the Tyler Lockett business in the last 24 hours, and it's probably the right call. Church, you know, he had such an incredible start to the year, but now you throw in the Russell Wilson injury. I guess here's the question. What is the value now for Tyler Lockett these next 6 weeks or so without Russell Wilson and Geno Smith under center?
Well, that's the whole problem, right? Is Tyler Lockett makes his money on these beautiful downfield pinpoint rainbow throws from Russell Wilson. Geno Smith's not that guy, or even close to that guy. And so, you know, you already took a player who had high highs and low lows, and now the highs don't seem nearly as high, and the lows seem even lower. And I, you know, at this point, if you actually can unload him for somebody who's reasonably safe, I think it's game on selling. You hate to sell low on good players, but there's just so much working against him already here that I think if you can still find some name value on Tyler Lockett and people who know the highlights, right? That's always the beauty of Tyler Lockett, is when he does well, he splashes all over the highlights. If you can get people that make an emotional move with him, great. But I think he's a tough sell right now.
Well, let's see if I can find a guy here that fits the bill. This is a trade offer right from My Playbook data at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. Tyler Lockett or Tyler Boyd, the battle of the Tylers. Is Boyd kind of that safe floor, maybe unspectacular guy? He's not going to have the big splash moments the way Jamar Chase or maybe even T. Higgins will, but maybe you feel better about the weekly floor. Who would you rather have rest of the season?
Well, I'll go first. I'd rather Boyd, because I value players that have consistency and that I know what I can get on a weekly basis. And I think especially as you start to think a little bit more about the playoffs, you know, your playoff run, you're trying to put together 3 straight great weeks. And Tyler Lockett's the kind of guy where he doesn't put together often 3 straight great weeks. He torpedoes you at least 1, if not 2 of those 3 weeks. And that's how you get knocked out of the playoffs. So for me, I would take Tyler Boyd as I start looking a little closer to November, December.
Yates, I'm going to throw one at you here. And this is another player that people are incredibly frustrated with, and understandably so, and maybe frustrated enough that you can perhaps in the more casual league sell off Tyler Lockett's big stat volume so far off for some of those monstrous early games. Could you possibly move Tyler Lockett for Allen Robinson? And would you want to pull off that trade and take Allen Robinson for Lockett?
Oh, you could definitely move Tyler Lockett for Allen Robinson. Fantasy managers who have Robinson are just like, get him off my roster. Like, they're very, very close to just straight up dropping this guy because of how disappointing he has been this season. I would not make that move, though. I still want Tyler Lockett. I think that he is, I think he's still going to be reliable enough. You just have to adjust your expectations, where Tyler Lockett with Geno Smith is not going to be this low-end wide receiver one, or, you know, like we thought that we had after the first 2 weeks of the season, high-end wide receiver two or whatever. He's a low-end wide receiver two, high-end wide receiver three. I've still got him in that territory where I think that the ball has to go somewhere in this offense with Geno Smith. The defense is still not good, so they're going to be throwing the ball quite a bit here, and DK Metcalf can't soak up every single target. Freddie Swain, Penny Hart, they're not going to soak up targets. So where does the ball go? It's got to go to Metcalf. It's got to go to Lockett. Now, he doesn't have the upside that he did with Russell Wilson, but I still think that he's going to be fine. So I've got Lockett in a league, and I'm not trading him. I'm not moving him because his value is so low at this point, unless I can get one of those guys that's in that same range as far as the rest of the season. Allen Robinson, Tyler Boyd, they're not in that same range for me. They're a little bit further down the board.
All right, this might surprise you, Yates, but the most traded running back over the last 48 hours in football is Darrell Henderson. This is one of your guys, Yates. So I want to kick the tires here. I want to ask you, number one, why? And are you somebody who wants to be trading for or trading away Henderson?
I think the why would be looking at the usage of Sony Michel from this past week. I think that people are looking at the carry splits there, and they're not taking into account that what Sony Michel did, racking up, I think it was 10 out of his 12 touches, were on that drive where Darrell Henderson was on the sideline briefly with that arm injury or elbow injury, whatever, he was getting that looked at. So, and then they just fed Sony Michel. And I think that the entire offseason and into this season, I've been saying that Darrell Henderson can be fantasy relevant. He can be a top 15 running back. Even if Sony Michel sees 6 to 8 touches per game, there's more than enough volume in this offense and the red zone scoring opportunities for Darrell Henderson to continue to be a top 15 running back. So if people are panicking based on what we've seen from Darrell Henderson this year, and they're selling cheap based on what we saw from Sony Michel this past week, then yeah, I will buy the discount. I'll buy the dip.
And right, I'll jump in for just a second. Go ahead, Joe. Paul, sure. I mean, you know, with and the other part that about Sony Walkman, as I call him, is those aren't going to be quality touches. Those 6 to 8 carries or touches, you know, it's going to result in 0 splash plays, 4 yards a carry, and nothing that fundamentally undermines Darrell Henderson's role as the lead back.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you guys. I think I'd rather have Henderson. Let's talk about a guy right now, too, that is certainly playing very well these last 2 weeks, but does share a backfield a little bit more than Henderson does. Kareem Hunt or Darrell Henderson? Yates, which side of this trade would you rather be on?
I would rather have Darrell Henderson. I feel more comfortable with him as the lead option versus Kareem Hunt, who Kareem Hunt's been great. Like, I'm not trying to take away anything from what he has done, but I just feel more confident in Darrell Henderson's role than I do with Kareem Hunt.
Charge, how about for you? Same question there. Hunt or Henderson, which side of this deal?
I've got a whole dissertation on Hunt coming up in a few minutes. I'm not going to mow my own lawn. We'll come to that in just a minute. How's that sound?
That's fine. I love tease. You know, leave it to the professional radio host for, you know, years and years to do the fantastic tease. Now, nobody can wait to get to it. All right, how about Myles Gaskin coming off that huge game? You think you might be able to sell him off and get Darrell Henderson, Charge?
Oh, God, if in a dream scenario, could I turn Myles Gaskin into Darrell Henderson? There is a massive gulf between those two. And the fact that this is even a conversation is shocking to me. Sure.
It's a trade off, that actually is happening out there. That's where the data is coming from. I know.
You know, it's such an emotional game, fantasy football. If you own Gaskin, by all means, shop him widely this week and enjoy whatever you can get out of him. I'm in a full avoid mode. Although I'll say this, just from the eye test, I think Myles Gaskin looks okay. Right. He's not great, but I think he looks okay and certainly worthy of more consistent usage than this stupid Dolphins offense ever give him.
I agree 100%, and I picked this trade specifically when I saw it because I went, well, this is a prisoner of the moment for sure in the last 48 hours, right? Could you find especially because everybody had such low expectations in that game against Tampa.
No,
and
God.
He caught so many balls, and all of a sudden they're like, well, maybe this is Myles Gaskin. Maybe this is turning the page of what it should be. And you're right, maybe it should be, but doesn't make it necessarily is. I think I already know Yates's feelings from his facial expressions on this one. So let's move on to another guy, AJ Brown. I've got a few shares myself, and this is a very frustrating situation here. Charge, I'll start with you with AJ Brown. This should have been a game where I felt like this past week, this should have been an AJ Brown game. We should have had him come back here. It was disappointing. What was it? 3 for 38, if memory serves, something to that effect. So right now with AJ Brown, would you want to be buying or selling him right now?
I love buying good players at a low point. And, you know, part of what happened with that we didn't know about AJ Brown coming into that game is that he was going to be on a snap count, which he was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we didn't know that. We just knew that he was taken off the injury report. So I'm like, game on, you know, it seemed like a smash spot. And it was obviously very disappointing. But here's what we know. AJ Brown's really, really good when he's healthy. And by maybe even today, maybe even right now, he should be at or near 100% health. And I love buying very good players at low dips. And while it's never sexy to do that, this feels like a great opportunity.
It does, but we're in week 6 right now. So mm-hmm. I can understand the frustration of needing some wins right now. Here's a question for you. And especially with this matchup coming on for Seattle with Pittsburgh this week, Chase Claypool for AJ Brown. Let's say you're a team that's got one or two wins. Is that a move you're making right now, Paul?
So part of the hard part is, okay, if I need a win now, and if I've got AJ Brown, I might need a win now. Here comes Buffalo. Well, that's not the matchup I want. Tre'Davious right. White on AJ Brown is not the matchup I'm looking to get healthy in. So I think you need to look beyond that. And after that, you get, for AJ Brown, I get Kansas City, which has turned into the most plus matchup in the league. And then I get to add Indianapolis with that banged up secondary. Xavier Rhodes got hurt last night. If you can survive this week, I'd rather have AJ Brown going forward. But if I need a win right now, Chase Claypool against Seattle is a fantastic opportunity. Mm-hmm. So I think it depends a lot on your level of desperation right now.
I picked out one here because of this, like I said, very specific matchup and also Juju being out now. Mm-hmm. We always complain about the target share divide. Yates, how do you feel about this? Would you take Chase Claypool for AJ Brown? Is that enough that you're getting there if you're an AJ Brown rosterer?
Man, Juju going down definitely opens things up, but what version of Ben are we going to get? You know, mm-hmm. and I know the matchup against Seattle, but that is a very short-term mindset, right? We've got to think about this long-term when we're making these trades in redraft leagues where AJ Brown rest of the season or Chase Claypool, it's like, okay, well, Ben Roethlisberger, are we going to see the arm continue to decline as the season progresses too? So I just don't know if I want to buy into that. We're going to talk about AJ Brown in a little bit though. So I think that I'll take the AJ Brown side of that.
All right, let's talk about Calvin Ridley and AJ Brown together on a trade. Let's talk about that, Yates, because sometimes people like to say, hey, here's my headache for your headache, right, and we just want a different headache. which one though is the cure at the end of the day? Is it Ridley or is it Brown for you, Yates?
I think that better days are ahead for AJ Brown. However, you have to look at what they have done up to this point of the season. And Calvin Ridley has definitely not lived up to expectations, but he has at least provided a very safe floor for fantasy managers, which AJ Brown has not done. So I think I would take Calvin Ridley in that situation.
All right, the number 4 most traded player. And Yates, I got to tell you, considering the names on this list today at running back, you should be very active this week making trades because the other one's Joe Mixon. So it was Henderson and Joe Mixon.
My two guys.
I know, you're two guys. And if you don't have them on every roster, this is your chance.
Right. Well,
like,
I
you
do.
Might as well just get them all now. Joe Mixon, because of the injury, because of what's going on, everybody's starting to go, oh no, not again. So I'll ask the question here. Would you rather be buying or selling Joe Mixon at this point?
Buy Joe Mixon everywhere. Joe Mixon did not miss any time, which that was a major, major concern, especially after last year. You know, we had this pop up, and that was the reason, I think, why he was traded so much, was just because, like, people were like, I'm done. I'm not doing this with Joe Mixon again. He didn't miss any time. Now, he did split work. He did have Samaje Perine involved here, but Samaje Perine also landed on the COVID list yesterday.
Yes,
so there is the potential that he misses this upcoming game. And who do they play? Oh, they play Detroit. So I think that Joe Mixon is just going to continue. As long as he gets in practices this week in a limited fashion or whatever the case may be, then he's going to, it's a smash spot this week up against Detroit. He's a top 5 running back. So if you can acquire him for cheap because people are for some reason panicking on him, then yeah, you do that.
Before I get to you, Paul, on this one, I want to ask Yates, Henderson or Mixon? Who do you like more rest of the season in that trade?
They are right in the same range for me. I will,
which is one and two overall, right?
Yes, no, I'm yes. In my heart, I will take. I'll take the Joe Mixon side of that. It's pretty close, though.
All right, Charge, let's go over to you and talk about Joe Mixon. Are you somebody that wants to buy or sell Mixon at this point? Is this the perfect time to get out for Mixon before another injury happens and we continue to, you know, have this thing happen year after year? Or, as Yates is saying, this is an opportunity to get in there because he didn't miss a game, and it's a great matchup this week, theoretically, against Detroit.
Great matchup next week, Baltimore. Great net matchup the week after that, Jets. So, you know, really, you get a nice run here for a while. And I what I like about Mixon is just the overall offense that he's playing in as well. It's become a very high-functioning offense that's producing a lot of trips into the red zone for Joe Mixon that he hasn't had throughout his career. And the guys I'm going to trade for, they've all got question marks. I mean, if we look, you know, Najee Harris has got, you know, we've seen the highs and lows of Najee Harris. You know, Darrell Henderson, you're picking up the injury risk that comes with Darrell Henderson. There's no, you know, you're not turning Joe Mixon into Derrick Henry. You're turning Joe Mixon into guys that have sizable question marks and many cases bigger ones than Joe Mixon. So I agree with Yates. I'm on the Mixon side of both of those deals.
Let's talk about a guy who had a really good game on Sunday. Najee Harris or Joe Mixon, Charge? Which side of this deal do you want to be on?
For this, Joe Mixon.
The silence says everything. I always know when I find a good one. When
that's right.
Goes,
when the stammering starts. Mixon or Harris is your question.
Yeah, Najee or Joe Mixon, rest of season. What side of this trade would you rather be on? Let's call it half PPR so no one's happy.
No, I want to be on the Mixon side for sure. For the reasons we just talked about. I'm steadfastly on Mixon for this.
All right, well, let's get after it and let's talk about some buy low running backs that you certainly you can't get enough running backs right now. We got to find some, especially now we're losing some, not even because of injury, just because of bye week. So it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. So let's talk about these guys. Charge, I'll start with you.
Oh, good.
Who are some of your buy low running backs that you got your eye on this week?
Let me give you two that I'm really excited about. Number one, Elijah Mitchell. Got nearly all the work last week, reestablished himself with a bullet at the top of the depth chart of a run-heavy offense with an uncertain quarterback situation. We've got favorable matchups in the schedule coming up with games with Indianapolis, Arizona, Jacksonville, Minnesota approaching over the next 5-6 weeks. And Mitchell's eye test, it's not even close. There's a reason that they like him so much more than Sermon. He's better than Trey Sermon at this stage right now. I think that kid runs with pop and runs hard. I like what I've seen, passes the eye test. Elijah Mitchell is my first buy low running back. What do you guys think?
Well, Bogman loves Elijah Mitchell. That's been the guy he's been talking about, and we had Boggs on the show yesterday. What are your thoughts on that San Francisco backfield at this point, Gates? Do you think that Mitchell is the buy low because it seems like he's the guy that they want, and now that they're on a buy, this is a perfect opportunity maybe to pluck him away?
Yeah, I think this is a really smart call because you look at the, and this is what a lot of fantasy managers will do, is they just look at the overall fantasy points, they look at the overall workload that shows up on their team, you know, it just says like 9 rush attempts, and they go, ah, man, I don't want this guy. He only got 9 rush attempts. But then when you zoom out and you take into the greater context and you see that Trey Sermon, what, only 1 touch last week? Like, at that point, it's pretty clear that Elijah Mitchell is the guy in this backfield. So I think that better days are ahead. And it's also a really smart move because they're currently on a bye week. So if you can scoop up Elijah Mitchell for next to nothing, and you can send off a running back who is at least active this week for a fantasy manager that needs a running back, then you can get him even cheaper than what you would if he had, if he was playing this week. So yeah, I think it's a really smart call.
Yeah, and Mitchell has a lot more rest of season appeal than some of the guys we've been picking up the last few weeks, like the Damian Williams, who might turn into a pumpkin, maybe Alex Collins, like a couple guys like that, where, you know, even Darrell Williams, who's going to get plucked off waiver wires this week. If you have a guy that you know is, you know, not long for the starting job, but you think Elijah Mitchell is going to be that guy, this is a perfect opportunity to make that kind of move.
Really quick. Sure. I want to chime in too. Just say like it's don't go crazy with spending on Elijah Mitchell though, because you do have Jeff Wilson coming back into the fold here potentially in a few
my
weeks.
Dude.
So,
well, you know, I don't know if everywhere. You guys saw this. Like, yes, was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday, or maybe late yesterday. Shanahan put the timetable as late November.
Oh,
for
wow.
Wilson.
Really? Okay, I didn't see
and
that.
So he, and I was like, whoa. I mean, I thought he was looming, but it turns out this might not be a Halloween. This might be a Thanksgiving return.
Okay.
Wow. On good Wilson.
That's why you have Paul on the show.
There we
he's
go.
Got his nose to the grindstone. Nothing gets by you. That's why I love it. Who's your other guy here? Because you mentioned you had two, Charge. Who's the other by low?
Javonte Williams. Just because the last two games we've had special carries. that make him obviously better than Melvin Gordon. Now, I know that Melvin Gordon's still going to be in the mix, and I'm not suggesting this thing's going to turn into an 80-20, but I don't see any scenario, based on what Javonte Williams is showing us with these special plays and what he's been able to do the last couple of weeks, where he at any point doesn't gets like in any way phased out. I just think they have to start opening up this running game to him. Now, the last couple of weeks, just 7 and 8 carries, which is disappointing. But I think game script was a lot of that, averaging 7 yards per carry and 7.5 yards per carry. And I just think it's, you know, at some point, you know, the investment they made at him, the fact that he's obviously better than Gordon, there's a plan to put their best players on the field. Williams is distancing himself from Gordon. And I just think this thing, it has the upside to turn into, instead of being the pure 50-50 it is now, it could be a 2/3, 1/3 timeshare. I like Javonte Williams to distance himself a bit from Gordon.
I think this is exactly the pinpoint where you go and you buy Williams. And I could not agree with you more. I think this is a great one. I'm so glad you brought him up, because I feel like this is also that pivot point in the season too, where if you're the Broncos, you were 3-0. Now you just lost 2 games in a row. So now you got to say, okay, what do we need to do a little differently now that we're playing teams that are a little bit better than what was on our schedule in September? And I think this is the point where you got to start employing more talent. You're going to get Jerry Jeudy back, hopefully, in a couple weeks healthy. I'm with you. I think this is the moment where if you have Williams, you've been patient and you just wait it out. And if you don't, this is your opportunity to get him more. What are your thoughts on Javonte Williams here, Yates, too? Is this the perfect time to be buying on him?
It's a really interesting time to bring him up, because fantasy managers drafted him in what, the 6th round of, you know, 12 team half PPR formats. Like, they drafted him in that range as their maybe RB2, RB3 or whatever. And you've had some injuries, obviously, up to this point. Every single fantasy manager has dealt with injuries at the running back position. So like, you're at this point, your patience is wearing thin on Javonte Williams and waiting for him to break out. And I think that this is the perfect time where you can start to invest, because J.K. Dobbins, Mark Ingram, that's the situation that people look at from last year. And they say, this is what Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon could be. Now, I don't think that it's going to be to the effect where, you know, in week 11 or whatever, Melvin Gordon is a healthy scratch, right? Like Mark Ingram was last year. I don't think that that's going to be the case. You mentioned that chart. So like, it's not going to be an 80-20. But I do think that we're going to start to see Javonte Williams take over this backfield as we do move throughout the season. This is the time where you invest before that price continues to go up, and the fantasy managers that have Williams are getting a little impatient. So yeah, I think this is a good call.
What kind of deal gets it done, guys? We're trying to get Javonte Williams. Would you take that Gaskin sell high that we just kind of made jerky remarks about? Like, oh yeah, we could try. But there's an opportunity, right? You're like, we like Gaskin, yeah, but the usage is in question. He's coming off a great game. Is that the exact kind of guy you try to flip right now, Charge?
I think so. Okay. I think I could flip James Conner and his 5 touchdowns into Javonte Williams. True. And get that's a better rounded back that isn't as touchdown dependent. I think he's the kind of guy that might fit here. Damian Harris would be a tricky one, wouldn't it? I think I'd probably stick with Harris.
Oh, that's tough.
That's close, isn't it?
It's tough. I think I would. I think it depends on where I am in the standings. You know, I think that's where I'm at. Yates, is there anybody in particular at the running back position you feel is a great buy low this week?
It really was difficult to scan through the top 20 and say that this is the running back that you can go out and acquire cheap, because actually, like, the majority of the top 20 running backs from this past week produced, which was, I think, the first time all season. Whereas in previous weeks, we've been able to pinpoint one player and say, like, okay, this guy disappointed here, you can go after him. So the guy that did stand out to me is Chase Edmonds. Chase Edmonds here, a limited workload this past week. We didn't see him necessarily contribute the way that fantasy managers may have hoped. Now, he did come into this game a little bit banged up. I still think that he has value as a low-end running back to high-end running back 3. And so if you can trade someone, the guy that I kind of highlighted here is Zach Moss. If you can take Zach Moss, who did produce last week, but again, it's the benefit of a positive game script. It's kind of the same thing as James Conner, where the game script plays a huge role in his fantasy value. Then I think that you can take Zach Moss and you can ship him for Chase Edmonds. I actually think that that's a trade that gets done in the majority of leagues.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Prize Picks. Turn your picks into real cash with Prize Picks, one of our favorite daily fantasy apps. It's fast and it's easy, and it all starts with Prize Picks. Simply pick 2 of the 5 players and decide if they will go over or under their stat projection. Prize Picks has a ton of stats to choose from, including yards, receptions, touchdowns, fantasy points, and more. Make your picks, lock it in. That's all you got to do. It's easy. The more players you pick, the more money you can win, up to 10 times your money. Prize Picks is one of the best ways to play. Prize Picks also allows mixed sport entries. You can take the over on LeBron, the under on Mahomes, and you can win cash. That's right. Every sport you can think of, they've got too. Football, college football, basketball, college basketball, baseball, soccer, mixed martial arts, and more. Prize Pick entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. It's safe, and it offers fast withdrawals, and the Prize Picks app is rated 4.8 in the App Store with rave reviews. Prize Picks is my only go-to for daily fantasy. Prize Picks is the easy way to play daily fantasy. Daily fantasy simplified. Find it in the App Store today or on Google Play. Use our promo code GRIDIRON to receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Again, that promo code GRIDIRON to receive 100% instant deposit match for up to $100. Prize Picks, fantasy sports simplified. Trades that I'm seeing a lot of, Yates, right now, Dalvin Cook and Saquon Barkley, a lot of people who are just saying, get rid of these guys, I can't handle it, I need some bodies, I've had some losses. So that being said, I want to try to help people out here and gauge some value. If you wanted to trade for Dalvin Cook and you could give up James Robinson, would you give up James Robinson to get Dalvin Cook with this ankle injury, Yates? Would you do that deal?
Yeah, I think that Dalvin Cook is pretty close to returning. I don't think that this is, I've seen nothing to suggest that he's going to be out multiple weeks. So I think that if he's not back this next week, it'll be the week after, you know? And so if you can take James Robinson, who has been producing, but I want to get away from Urban Meyer led players. Like, I just want to get away from that. So James Robinson has been great, but if I can make that tier jump to go up to Dalvin Cook, yeah, I'm making that move.
All right, do you think it depends a little bit on if you're sitting at 1 and 2 wins with Dalvin Cook right now? And, you know, if you can afford to wait it out, it's so we have question mark coming up in this game, probably plays, might not, then a bye week. And the bye week may add to the likelihood that he doesn't play this week because they could now extend this thing yet another week. And so I think this, it really depends on whether or not you're fortunate enough to have enough wins that you can look long term at Dalvin Cook and afford what might be another 2 weeks before you have him in your starting lineup.
Yeah, I'm 1-4 in flex, so I'm probably not defending the belt this year. I have Dalvin Cook and David Montgomery. Those are my two running backs in that league.
Well, you almost have to make a move.
I want, give me James Robinson. Give me Jackie Robinson. Give me any Robinson, please. I just need somebody to play
Mrs. running Robinson.
Back. Mrs. Robinson, please. This is just terrible right now. What about Najee Harris for Dalvin Cook? Charge, where would you stand on that end of those deals?
See, the problem with Harris is just, you know, too many dud games by that inconsistent offense and the much talked about offensive line. And I try to,
but are they getting better, Charge? Like, are they?
He is.
Are they starting to play better together?
Yes.
Right.
I think time. I think this line is getting a little bit better, but I still am asking myself, okay, if I'm going to set myself up for the playoffs, can I get 3 straight good games out of him? Now, the PPR side of it says, okay, I've got a high floor because I'm going to get 4, 5, 6, 7 targets in probably all those games. But I still worry about the dud games we've already seen from him and that may end up continuing. So if I didn't have to make that move right away, I'd still stick with Cook and the enormous upside and continuity that he brings.
All right, let's switch over to wide receivers. Yates, do you have any particular buy lows this week at the wide receiver position?
Yeah, we talked about him earlier. I'm going with A.J. Brown. And A.J. Brown, it has not been pretty. Like, I have A.J. Brown in a couple of spots. My main dynasty league, like the dynasty league that I went into, and was like, guys, you want to just give me the championship right now? Like, because this team is just stacked. Saquon Barkley, Joe Mixon, Lamar Jackson, A.J. Brown, Allen Robinson, Odell Beckham Jr., Robert Woods.
1-4.
I'm 0-5. I'm 0-5. Like, it's been great. It's great. It's fine.
Isn't that the worst, though, Yates? I feel like that's so true. The drafts where you leave, and that flex league I was just mentioning, I left that draft going, Kyler Murray, I've got Cook, I've got Montgomery. I'm gonna roll this, right? Yep. It's always the drafts you leave feeling the best that end up being just the worst leagues to play out.
Should have drafted Cordarrelle Patterson in the second round instead. With A.J. Brown, 130 receiving yards this season. Now, he's only played in 4 games, but these are some of the other players that have more receiving yards than A.J. Brown. Freddie Swain, Rashard Higgins, Adam Humphreys, Braxton Berrios, Keelan Cole, Chester Rogers, Khalif Raymond, and Kendrick Bourne. Okay, wow. How depressed are we right now? All right,
Khalif Raymond, by the way, no catches last week.
No catch, yeah. He's still, exactly. So he played essentially the same amount of games as A.J. Brown. I think, you know, teams that have A.J. Brown, are struggling, like 100%, and they are in complete panic mode right now with AJ Brown. So I think that looking at some of the players that you could potentially sell off, like Jakobi Meyers, his perception, like the perception that fantasy managers have of him, is much higher than his production. And Jakobi Meyers is simply just in the same range of like a Tyler Boyd, one of these high-end flex plays that's not going to crush your lineup, but he's not going to help it. Like, he's not going to push you over the top. So if you can trade Jakobi Meyers for AJ Brown, I'm doing that. Kadarius Toney, if you want to take Toney, that you either had added him this past week before the explosion, you add him off of waivers and someone really, really wanted him and they're willing to give you AJ Brown, I'm making that massive tier jump from Kadarius Toney to AJ Brown. I think that better days are ahead for AJ Brown. I'm buying him.
Toney was the star of yesterday's waiver wire show. Paul, I'd love to hear your thoughts on Toney real quick, if you don't mind.
Special player. I mean, what I'm always looking for when we get our first look at rookies is, do you see special traits that are going to that in the NFL now? You can, most of these guys have special traits in college. When it hits the NFL, do you see special traits that make that player do something that defenses can't stop and some element of the game? And man, does Toney have it. Wow. I mean, he is so slippery, and you didn't think of him as a volume receiver until last week. And maybe that's not going to hold up once players start returning. But I just think there are so many special skills. And I was a guy who was shocked and frankly a little bit disappointed at where he got drafted because of all of the players that they already had, all the receivers they already had. And I didn't think he was necessarily worthy of a first round pick. But clearly, I'm totally wrong. And I don't think this is going to be one of those situations where to look back and go, well, we got fooled. I think Toney's legit and will be a sizable contributor to the point that I think it matters when Slayton comes back. And
you know, I was just going to ask you, Paul, I don't know who these guys coming back for the Giants are you keep talking about.
Right.
tell the Giants, because they don't know. They have no idea who those guys are. Let's talk about you and stay on rookies here, because I think you've got a little theme with your buy lows at wide receiver this week.
I do, as a matter of fact. Let's talk rookies. So, I mean, broadly, can we agree? Receivers a tricky spot to pick up. A lot of receivers just need some time to ramp up. And here we are rolling into week six. And most of our rookie receivers are better now than they were in week one. I think I look at two rookies in particular that I think can be significant improvements in our buy low opportunities. Let's start with Devonta Smith. Just the one touchdown, which suppresses his value for his current fantasy managers. And clearly, I think the best receiver on his team looks very, very natural at the pro level. And I love the fact that they target him downfield. And Hurts has got a big arm. He's not always super accurate with his downfield passing, but he's a willing downfield passer. Devonta Smith's averaging 14 average targeted air yards. 14 is solid, and it really does tell you that they like to go to him downfield. And if you believe like I do that Jalen Hurts is going to get better, then I want his best receiver, and Hurts is his best receiver. Get positive games coming up: Tampa Bay, Las Vegas, Detroit. Game on! I like Smith to find the end zone more and improve on what's been a good but not superstar showing through 5 weeks. So he's my first player. What do you think?
I really like what I saw to Devontae Smith this past week too, and I was very high on him coming into the year. Yates, what's your thoughts on Smith?
Smith, I think, is definitely one of the players that I would love to have on my roster. Again, it's expectation management. It's where are we actually viewing him and where are we comfortable having him on our roster? For me, that is a wide receiver three. Like, I think that he is going to ebb and flow with Jalen Hurts and in plus matchups like Kansas City, like the ones that you mentioned upcoming. Like, absolutely. I think that he now pushes into the wide receiver two territory in those matchups. He comes with upside. But I do think that we have to at least be a little bit concerned when they do play these tougher matchups and adjust expectations. So I don't think that he is suddenly going to become this league winner, but I do think that he can absolutely contribute for fantasy lineups.
Charge, I always I gauge the buy lows sometimes by the number of questions I get on a certain player. And this morning I had to have had, if I had one, I had six questions about Jalen Waddle. And to me, it's a buy low because we're getting Tua coming back. And Tua and Waddle was what I was excited about in the first place. Like, that's kind of why I liked Waddle in the beginning of this. So is this a unique buy low opportunity for Waddle?
I think it is. Maybe career buy low opportunity for Jalen Waddle. Mm. Still get it on the field a ton. 80% snap count in 4 of 5 games. You've got the always injured players in Fuller and Parker who are injured right now. And a positive schedule. 3 of the next 4 games, Jacksonville, Atlanta, Buffalo's a stopper, Houston. 3 of those 4, very positive, gets Tua back. I think there's a real chance that Jalen Waddle really hits the accelerator in a big way in this next month of games. I mean, Waddle's going to be against Jacksonville this week. Waddle will probably be my 22nd, 25th ranked wide receiver this week.
All right. I want to talk about two guys whose teammates had enormous days again on Sunday, and maybe they're in the shadow a little bit, and I wonder if that makes them interesting buy lows. The two names are Keenan Allen and T. Higgins. Both very good, both very solid, both have weekly upside and weekly floor. I assume those two guys are probably people you would want on your rosters. Yates, is this an opportunity to buy low on both these guys?
Absolutely. I think that Keenan Allen, if you can value him as a high-end wide receiver too, if you can get him at that price point, then absolutely. I would love to have Keenan Allen on my roster. And then T. Higgins, I think that people are going to be concerned just based on Ja'Marr Chase and how well he is producing, how much the chemistry is there between Burrow and Chase. And I think with Higgins coming back week one off of that injury, like, I'm not super, super concerned. T. Higgins, when he is fully healthy, when he is in the lineup, he is a consistent set it as a low end wide receiver too with upside every single week. And he gets Detroit again this week. So I think that this is the last chance, I think, to buy T. Higgins pretty low.
All right, let's move on to the running backs, the sell highs. Charge, let's start with you in this one. Who are the running backs you think right now you would look to sell high if you can afford to sell high on a running back?
Yeah, right. Like, I mean, you're
becoming an oxymoron very quickly.
Yeah, we're turning good running backs into other good running backs, hopefully, here. Kareem Hunt, 5 touchdowns in 5 games is uncharacteristic for him in this offense. We know that. I don't think he's going to be able to maintain that. And I think my goal would be to turn Kareem Hunt into a workhorse back. Somebody that I know is going to get dependable touches every single week, Joe Mixon. As one example of somebody that I know is going to get reliable work. And I think you can find people that are willing to make that trade on Hunt. Over the course of his time with Cleveland, this is as high as he's ever been. This is you're selling at his absolute high moment. And that's what we're all trying to do when we make these trades, is find high water marks for a player. And Kareem Hunt's never been a better producer than he is right now for Cleveland.
Yeah. Look, let's try to see some of the names there. I think we mentioned earlier the Darrell Hendersons. What about Robinson? Would you rather have Robinson or would you rather have Hunt rest of season in a trade?
For me, it'd be Robinson because, again, I'm trying to find a workhorse back with sure touches. And that's the downside that Kareem Hunt gives you is, not that he ever turns into like a 5-touch guy, but he has games where he's clearly behind Chubb, and frankly, Chubb's a better runner overall. So yeah, I would make that trade because I want the workhorse backs with the sure touches.
Yates, how about for you? Is there a sell high running back? Does that exist right now for you in your world?
Again, it's kind of the same thing where I talked about Cordarrelle Patterson last week as a sell high. It's like, I think that his usage is here to stay. So I'm not like selling him just because he had a good game. Like, I think if you can make the tier jump up, then that is what I'm looking to do. And you talked about that sure locked in workload. That's exactly what I'm looking to do here when I am selling high on Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette has 32 carries and 10 targets over the last 2 weeks combined. He has now completely taken over the lead back role, but you do still have Giovanni Bernard kind of lurking here. He did get that receiving touchdown. Fournette found the end zone last week, which saved his fantasy day. So, but the question becomes, can you trade him for a player that doesn't have as many question marks, right? You do have Giovanni Bernard. You still have Ronald Jones involved. Does Ronald Jones get the touchdown when he's on the field, right? Like we saw 2 weeks ago. This is still a messy backfield, even though Leonard Fournette has kind of taken over as that main guy. So I think if I can trade him for a player that doesn't have as many question marks, a guy like DeAndre Swift. Now, I know that DeAndre Swift had a good game this past week from a fantasy perspective. Again, all the top 20 running backs pretty much did. So it's going to be hard to sell high and make that tier jump. But send out offers in your league. See what you can find, because there might be someone that really wants to have the lead running back in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense. And I don't blame them. But again, if I can make that tier jump to be able to get up and maybe even package Leonard Fournette for another player, then that's what I'm doing.
You know, it's funny. Leonard Fournette was mine too. Paul, go ahead.
Oh, I love that answer. It's the perfect moment for all the reasons Yates just said. You get out of the most worrisome, headache-inducing, bowel-loosening backfield in the NFL at a sell high moment for Leonard Fournette on. I mean, when you've got Leonard Fournette in your lineup and you click submit,
right,
nobody feels good about that click. Right. You know, that's what you're, everything tightens in your body and you're like, oh God, my finger's spasming over the mouse button. Oh, fine.
Well, you're always Ric Flair-esque right there. You were like, you know, what was the, I can't even repeat it. I'm not even sure what you said. It was hilarious. You're like frustrating and something in this and then, and bowel loosening. Woo. Like you were just that, and you're right. And here's the thing. Even if you have Leonard Fournette and you have that backfield, theoretically, what's the cap on that backfield? The cap is Tom Brady wanting to throw the ball over the place and throwing 400 yards and 5 touchdowns, which is another thing. But Fournette was the other guy for me. I just wonder, can you turn Leonard Fournette into David Montgomery right now, boys? Do you think that's a trade you could pull off? Because I think he can.
Yeah, especially for someone who needs a running back right now. Absolutely. It depends on who you have at your running back position, though, right? Like, who else you have if you had a running back who is currently injured, you know, a CEH or something like that, and now you need Leonard Fournette as your RB2, then obviously you're not making that move. But if you have the depth and Fournette is a depth piece, then, and you can afford to wait a couple weeks to get David Montgomery and the upside that he has, absolutely.
All right, real quick, guys, give me a wide receiver right now. Charge, we'll start with you, that you think is an interesting sell high.
How about DJ Moore? Good player, and I want to get a good player in return. As Sam Darnold better learns this offense, he really should start diversifying his target ratios a little bit, right? He's got other good receivers. Robbie Anderson, Terrace Marshall needs to get some more snaps. And, you know, Moore's never been a reliable touchdown producer. He's got 3 and 5 games this year. Maybe that doesn't sustain itself. And so DJ Moore right now, you can turn DJ Moore into almost anybody you want. So it feels like a sell high opportunity for a player I like, but I can turn him into another player I like who's got, I think, maybe more sustainable and likely continued high level success than DJ Moore, who's, you know, currently, you know, what, like wide receiver 5 in fantasy scoring.
Yates, how about for you? Is there a name or two at wide receiver that really popped to you as sell highs this week?
Cortland Sutton comes to the top of the list for me. Coming off of a 7 reception, 120 yard and a touchdown performance, he looks great. Don't want to take anything away from what he is doing, but he's had big performances already this year and then has disappeared. And there are fantasy managers I've seen, I know you're there, I know I've seen you on Twitter, that you absolutely love Cortland Sutton and you think that he has wide receiver 1 upside. And so I think that taking advantage of that, just send out some offers. If you got Cortland Sutton, send out some offers, see what you can get. Guys like T. Higgins, if you can make that jump from Cortland Sutton to T. Higgins, I would do that. I think that T. Higgins coming off of that down performance, I think we're going to see that bounce back. And then another guy, Michael Pittman Jr. Do we see maybe that people are wanting to, both had big performances here, but I'm buying into Michael Pittman Jr. and his consistency more than Cortland Sutton.
Yeah, that's very fair. Sutton was actually mine too. We're on the same page a lot today, boys. That's good. It's consensus is good sometimes when it comes to these things. We've seen enough, that's for sure. And now it's time to get to the consensus rankings, where guys are rising and falling. Yates, I'm going to start with you. Who is the running back that has risen up your ranks rest of season after week 5 is in the books?
After the Sony Michel trade, I talked about Daryl Henderson still being a top 15 running back, and I got destroyed. and I apparently was too low on Daryl Henderson in saying that. Daryl Henderson is at RB12 for me rest of season. I am a complete believer in what he is doing in this offense. Sony Michel's presence does not scare me, especially when you take into consideration the context that we talked about earlier. Daryl Henderson, RB12 on the rest of season rankings for me.
Yeah, RB12 is actually my guy too, but it's a different name. It's James Robinson. I love where this volume's going. It's better late than never, I guess, but I'm already still mad about those first couple weeks for Robinson. But bell cows are hard to find right now, as well as healthy running backs. How about you, Charge? Who is a running back that moved up your rankings for the rest of the season after this past week?
Jonathan Taylor. Loved what I saw from him on Monday night. Actually, the last couple of weeks, he's run with real intensity. And I know, you know, last on Monday night, just the 3.5 yards per carry, but the way he got to the 3.5 yards per carry, and then, of course, his involvement in the passing game, I just think this offensive line is going to get better. Quentin Nelson back and the whole offense just getting better, clearly with Carson Wentz being more comfortable. I think we're back into the top 5-6 range for Jonathan Taylor, about where he was drafted in many leagues. I think we're finally at that stage with the Colts offense where he's ready to perform at the expectations that we had in August.
All right, let's move to the guys who are falling. Charge, who's a guy that's falling down the rankings after week 5 is now in the books?
Yeah. So some of the players that worry me at least a little bit, you know, Aaron Jones is starting to lose some legitimate time to AJ Dillon. And while I expected AJ Dillon's role to expand, I think we all did. What I didn't necessarily expect is AJ Dillon to be an active participant in the passing game.
Yeah.
And I had counted on Aaron Jones, like, housing all of those or near all of those Jamal Williams receptions from last year. And if AJ Dillon is going to continue to pick up three-ish receptions, we saw Matt LaFleur come out and say that his biggest regret from last week is he didn't get AJ Dillon enough playing time. Then that worries me a little bit on Aaron Jones, and I might want to sell him high for another player that I like a lot.
My guy's Miles Sanders all the way down to 26 now, and he might even be lower if not for all the injuries to other guys. Like, he could be closer to 30 right now, if not beyond. Look, we've been talking about him the last couple of weeks. I'm not going to beat the dead horse. Yates, who is your guy that's getting fallen down here in the running back side of rankings?
Apparently, I will say this. I did not look at your names, Joe. I promise you. I did not look at your names.
No, we never do. And that's, Miles and Sanders. That's the beauty of the show. And it's Miles odd Sanders. That we're on the same people. But you know, it's
crazy.
True.
You mentioned RB26 in the rest of the season rankings. I've got him at RB27. And for the exact same reason. It's like I would have him much lower, except who am I going to rank him behind?
That's,
you know, like
it.
It's just
yeah.
That's just the nature of it right now. But Miles Sanders, you can't play him.
All right, let's talk about the wide receivers going up. I'm the prisoner of the moment right now when it comes to Ja'Marr Chase. He is wide receiver 12 for me right now. He is wide receiver 1. I don't want to hear anybody tell me any different because you can't tell me any different. And if you're worried about him dropping the balls and you faded him in drafts, then bad job on you. Yates, who's moved up the most in wide receiver for you?
It's not Ja'Marr Chase. Don't worry. I mean, he has, but that's not the name that I'm going to talk. Michael Pittman Jr. Woo! Let's go. I talked about it on the Start Sit show this past week, saying the touchdowns are coming. I did not expect it to be in a highlight reel fashion of a he mossed the defender. I did not expect that. But Michael Pittman Jr., man, he is the clear wide receiver 1 in this offense. And I think that he a star is being born just right in front of our eyes. So Michael Pittman Jr., rising up the rankings, he is now at wide receiver 27 in my rest of the season.
Charge, who's moving up your RB ranks?
Wide receiver ranks, I believe.
Yeah, I'm sorry, wide receiver ranks.
Yeah, no problem. How about Hunter Renfrow? Somebody who was something of a late-round afterthought for most of us has turned into the most reliable wide receiver option on an offense that's, either second or third in total passing yards. And so, incrementally, Hunter Renfrow moving up, and now somebody that slots into the mid-30s in terms of wide receiver rankings rest of the year for me. And I just think reliability counts for a lot. And you know what? Five catches and 60 yards every game and a coin flip's chance at a touchdown. Here's Hunter Renfrow out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's a good name. All right, who's going in the opposite direction for you, Paul?
Wide receivers going the opposite direction for me, Corey Davis. Because I think, you know, Zach Wilson, just the one good start, four bad starts. And Jamison Crowder really eating into his target share a lot. And I'm looking at the rest of the season schedule, and there's a bunch of unfavorables in there that I don't like. And I don't like even this week's bye. So I've moved Corey Davis down rest of the way.
Yeah, Tyler Lockett's that guy for me. He's a wide receiver 30, but that could get worse by this afternoon, possibly, as I continue to look at things. Yates, how about for you? Who's moving in the wrong direction at wide receiver?
Oh, it was interesting. To begin the season, we moved Odell Beckham Jr. down based on where we had drafted him, and then he started to rise back up, and he's right back down. Odell Beckham Jr.
I don't know who this "we moving him up" thing is. Not this guy.
Odell Beckham Jr. back at wide receiver 37 for me in most of the season rankings. It makes zero sense why he is not featured in this offense, but that's just... I don't know. So Odell Beckham Jr., he's on that dynasty team that was supposed to bring me a championship and is 0-5. It's fine.
I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Prize Picks. Make sure you head over to Prize Picks and play Daily Fantasy in a whole new way. And when you do, use that promo code GRIDIRON and they will match your first deposit up to $100. And visit intotheam.com/fantasypros to get some of these cool graphic tees or basic tees from Into the AM. Head over to the YouTube channel to check them out for yourself and see Yates and myself wearing them. They are awesome. Again, you get 10% off when you do at intotheam.com/fantasypros. Paul Charchian, the CEO of Guillotine Leagues, the radio voice out there in the Chicago area. You can follow him on the Twitter machine at Paul Charchian. And please, if you haven't already played a Guillotine League, get in there and try it. It is so much fun. And this is from a guy who is out in 2 weeks, and I just can't wait to get back in one. Luckily, I did get another opportunity there because Charch is such a good guy. Charch, thanks so much for spending some quality time with us again. We really appreciate having you.
This has been great, Joe. I always have a ton of fun. And Yates, super fun to work with you for the first time.
Yeah,
let's absolutely. Do this again, buddy.
There you go. Bringing people right. together. That's what fantasy yeah. football does. Aww. All right, that'll do it. No more feel-good moments. That's it. It's over. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Paul Charchian and Kyle Yates, I'm Joey P. We will see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.